Radio Theatre today, we present the story The Paragon, written by Roland and Michael Pertwee. It was produced by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Jessica, there it is. The model of the sports pavilion. Isn't it splendid? Oh, well, Robert will be pleased. Do you know, it's unlike any other building in the neighbourhood.
Ezra, I'm afraid it is. But I still think a nice monument would have been more in keeping.
Oh, I see there's an inscription.
Erected in proud memory of Second Lieutenant Simon Rawley, only son of Robert Rawley, who fell in action at Caen on 12th of June, 1944. He died, but his memory shall live. Just 2 years ago. Well, I only hope Simon will approve. I shall certainly ask him next time he materializes.
Jessica, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if by any chance Simon decides to make one of his startling appearances at the opening ceremony on Monday, please keep it to yourself. You know how Robert hates it. And it would be so disconcerting if people thought you were talking to yourself.
I suppose, as usual, you're trying to say that I imagine these happenings.
I only fear we have worries enough without trying to invoke rather pointless ghosts who never say anything sensible.
You know, Joan, you're funny about Simon. You never speak of him as if you feel his loss.
Why should I? I hardly knew him. To me, he was just a spoilt, conceited young man who thought the world belonged to him just because he had an extraordinary gift for playing cricket.
Oh, if poor Sybil could hear you, she would turn in her grave.
Why, don't people learn the truth about each other in the spirit world?
I sometimes wonder if you're jealous of Robert's affection for Simon because you've had no child of your own.
How clever of you to think of that.
Robert was devoted to poor Sybil. And but for the hope of another son, he would never have been so disloyal to her memory as to marry again.
The fact that Sybil was your sister, Jessica, gives you no right to speak to me like that.
Oh, it's the Earl of Clarendon, milady.
What does he want, Kate?
Sir Robert, milady. I said he was out, but that you was in, and he said could he wait?
Of course. Ask him to come up, Kate.
Yes, milady.
Well, if you'll excuse me, there's someone waiting for me, too. On the other side.
Oh, the other side. Oh, the spirit world.
Lord Clarendon, milady.
How do you do, Lady Rawley? Delighted to make your acquaintance.
I'm pleased to meet you too, Lord Clarendon. You wanted Robert, didn't you?
Well, I just dropped in for a chat, but if it's...
He won't be long. He's just gone down to the village to see, or rather feel, how the workmen are getting on with the pavilion.
Amazing fellow, the way he gets around. Never lets his blindness stop him. Great courage.
And great determination.
By the way, what happened to his son's wife?
Angela. Oh, she's coming from Berlin today. After Simon was killed, she joined the control commission there.
Berlin, eh? That's where my nephew's been. He's coming down this evening on leave.
I believe he's a doctor.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, here's my husband now. Lord Clarendon's here to see you, Robert.
Oh. Good evening, Clarendon.
How do you do, Rawley? Haven't seen you since you came here to live. Must be a couple of years.
Come and sit near me. The model's here. When did it come?
About 20 minutes ago.
Good. How did you know it was here, Rawley? No one mentioned it.
The old place smells like a paint shop. Have a whiskey?
Thank you.
Blind men see with their noses as well as their ears, you know. Here, your whiskey, Clarendon. Help yourself to soda.
It's uncanny how you find your way about.
Oh, it's just memory. In my own surroundings, I memorize everything. That's why I won't have things moved around. Well, good health. I hear you've returned to the village for good.
Well, I've reopened Martel's, but it's too big now my son's dead. I don't know that I'll keep it going.
If you'll excuse me, Lord Clarendon, I'll leave you and Robert to talk.
Well now, Clarendon, what did you want to speak to me about?
I understand When this memorial of yours is opened on Monday, you plan the ceremony on quite a large scale. Local press, speeches, ginger beer and all the rest of it.
I'm not confining myself to the local press. And there'll be plenty of whiskey if that's what's worrying you.
It isn't. I shan't be there.
Eh?
I've come to persuade you to drop the whole idea.
Drop it? What do you think the club was built for?
I don't mean the club, but the ceremony and, forgive me, all these heroics.
What do you mean?
Rawley, why don't you dedicate the place, not to a single individual, but to all the local lads who didn't come back?
Why should I?
Isn't it rather ostentatious publicity, underlining the death of one young man in a place where 15 lost their lives? It isn't as if your son spent his boyhood here. Not a soul in the district even knew him.
Through his cricket, Simon was a public figure. So what's that to do with it?
Everything, my dear fellow. After all, I lost my son and heir. But I don't make the mistake of thinking it's any more important or tragic than the loss of, say, my gardener's boy, who was killed on the same day.
I don't follow your logic, Clanton. In any case, this is my own affair.
You're making it everybody's affair. You're ramming his death down our throats as if it was unique. Be realistic, Rawley. No one but a few near relations cares tuppence about the death of Simon Rawley or Richard Clanton. And no amount of publicity in good or bad taste will alter the fact.
With the all of his life before him, that lad was killed the first time he went into action. When he died, everything I'd worked for and planned was wiped out. I've made no secret of my beginnings. I was born in a tenement house in Leeds, and my father signed his name with a cross till the day he died. I meant to start a line, Clanton, which in 100 years would rank with the highest families in the land. Why should a stray bullet wipe all that out? This fine family tree I'd planned has failed at the first branch. And there'll be no other. But by heaven, the name Simon Rawley isn't going to die so easily.
Then it boils down to this. That what you are doing is more an action of defiance than anything else. It's a pity to see a courageous fellow like you preparing to make such an ass of himself.
Now look here, Clanton. I may be blind, but I see through you. You're lots on the downgrade and you don't like it. For generations, you've been tin gods around here. And it goes against the grain when a mongrel like myself marches in and steals your thunder.
Oh, goodness, man. Surely you're not so foolish as to imagine I'm jealous of what you're doing. And to talk of stealing our thunder because you've erected this modern monstrosity is just a lot of poppycock. I think I'd better be going before we say things we might regret. Good day to you, Rawley. And no hard feelings on either side.
You can speak for yourself about that.
I can see myself out. I knew my way around this house when you were still in Leeds.
Oh, modern monstrosity, eh? Modern monstrosity!
Lord Clanton's gone. What did he want, Robert?
Well, hello, love. Oh, time I were dressing for dinner.
I asked you what he wanted.
Nothing for you to bother your pretty head about, Joan.
That's what you're always saying these days.
What do you mean by that?
Do you still love me, Robert?
Of course I do.
Even though I've not been able to give you the child you wanted?
Have I ever reproached you for that?
No. But nothing's been the same since I told you. Oh, Robert, we were so happy once. I love you and I thought you loved me, but if it was only because you wanted a child you married me, then for heaven's sake say so and I'll clear out and give you another chance.
Oh, Joan, don't start that foolish talk again. You said you loved me, didn't you?
That could be my way of showing it.
Your pardon, Sir Robert. Constable Patton's below asking for a word with you.
Oh, what about?
To do with some doubtful character that might be prowling in the neighbourhood.
All right, I'll have a chat with him and then get dressed.
Who's the doubtful character, Kate?
I didn't take much notice, milady, but a stolen car he was driving was found abandoned near Bergen Copse. Oh, and there was something about injuring a constable who tried to stop him.
I see. Thank you, Kate. I'll go and dress.
It's always the same. I can't understand why gentlemen can't sit on loose covers without crumpling them. Always having to smooth them down. There. That's better.
Hello, Kate.
Oh, well, Mrs. Simon, so you've arrived. Welcome home.
Where's everyone?
They're upstairs dressing.
Max, come in and have a drink.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir. I'll go and see to your unpacking, Mrs. Simon. You're in the yellow room.
Home.
Well, what's it feel like, Angela?
Somebody else's home. But that's how it always felt. I suppose because Simon and I never had one of our own.
You and I'll have one of our own.
Soon?
As soon as there's a square inch in Harley Street that'll hold us.
Darling.
Nice of your in-laws to give me a chance to do that.
Wasn't it? But you'd better straighten your tie and have a drink. We don't want them to start guessing before we break the news. I know I need one.
Nervous?
Horribly.
But why? I'm here.
And that's why. I don't know how it is, but Robert's blind eyes see more than 10 ordinary men's. I was always scared stiff of him. Silly, because he's a good father-in-law, as they go. But ruthlessly successful men always terrify me.
Well, good luck, darling. Is that a photograph of Simon?
Yes. Robert won't have it moved.
He's a very good-looking fellow.
Yes, he was. Good heavens, what's this? A model of something. And look at this invitation. You're invited to attend the... So that's why they wanted me back. Why didn't they say? How like Robert. I wish I hadn't come.
And let me see the card. They wanted you for the ceremony, you think?
Yes. Would have been rather heartless, I suppose, if the young widow hadn't been present. It'll seem even more so when she tells them why she came. Look, darling, you'd better go back to Marple's for dinner with your uncle and aunt and come in afterwards when I've tested the ground a bit.
Oh, I've been afraid of this.
Of what?
The effect coming home would have on you. Out there, away from old associations, you could forget, but...
You're wrong, Max. It isn't that.
Yes, it is. A ghost can be just as strong a rival as a living man.
I've told you I love you, haven't I? Do you think these last 6 months have been an act? Have I behaved like a woman who needed a man, any man, just because she's used to having one around? You're not filling a gap in my heart, Max. You've carved your own place, deep, deep down. Remember that, and please never speak of this again.
Those are the loveliest words I ever heard.
Angela, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Joan. You don't know each other. Maxwell Oliver, Lady Rawley.
How do you do?
You must be Lord Camden's nephew.
Yes, he is. We came over from Germany together, and he drove me down from town.
Oh, won't you stay for dinner?
Oh, I can't, thanks. But Angela's asked me round afterwards, if I may come.
Do, of course.
Thank you. Later on, then, I'll see myself out.
He's nice looking.
I think so. I've seen the model. So that's why you sent for me.
Yes. I know you haven't liked being home since Simon was killed, but I did think
that Robert would expect me to come.
Yes. Angela, treat Robert gently.
How do you mean?
We all have our different ways of getting over things. Yours is to turn your back on them. Robert's is to keep them with him.
So you've come home, Angela.
Yes, Robert, here I am.
You know what's happening on Monday, Angela?
Yes. Jones told me.
I wondered if you'd come.
I came because I had something to tell you about myself.
Leave it until later, Angela. It's nearly dinner time, and if you want to wash, I...
Perhaps you're right. I do feel a bit travel-stained. I won't be long.
Robert, you didn't tell me. What did Lord Camden come to see you about?
Oh, he wanted me to drop the memorial. He can't afford to do the same for his boy, and it rankles that I can.
Oh, I'm sure that wasn't his reason.
Oh, he covered it up with a lot of nonsense about bad taste and being wrong to glorify one man's death among so many. Confounded cheek.
I wouldn't call it cheek. If that's his honest opinion, he was right to express it.
You'll be saying next it's your opinion, too.
Which is. I suppose because Simon wasn't my son, you never asked me what I thought.
Then let's hear it now.
All right, you shall. I agree with Lord Camden, and with lots of other local people who find themselves regretfully unable to attend the opening ceremony.
Much I care, if they come or not.
But you do care, or you wouldn't be doing it this way. Publicly, on invitation cards, black-edged. I don't believe you've given a thought to the good this club may do to the village. All you want is to make a full-star saint of a man they didn't even know by sight.
How dare you speak of the dead in that fashion?
Because I can't bear to see you making a laughing stock of yourself. You mean as much to me as Simon did to you.
It doesn't seem so. There's only one excuse I can find for you to speak that way.
You've never had a child, and you can't understand the feelings of those who have.
If that's what you think, go ahead with your tin pot memorial. But don't expect me at the opening ceremony or here any longer than it takes to find somewhere else to go.
Modern monstrosity. Tin pot memorial. You and Clandon seem to have got together about this. Well, if you're not too busy packing after dinner, ring up Clyde of the Times and tell him I'm putting aside £500,000 to erect Simon Lawley memorial clubs in all parts of the country.
Why, wait until after dinner. I'll do it now.
Good idea. Why not?
I want a London call, please. Central 2000.
Die goeie ou dae van Springbok Radio is terug. 20 onverkrygbare liedjies nou op een CD. Met al jou gunstelinge: Virginia Lee, Cora Marie, Anton Quessen, Sonja Herold, Cupido en vele meer. Herleef Springbok Radio, Afrikaanse treffers.
Some things in life are obvious and easy. If you have a business providing a good service or selling a product, you need to let people know. But how do you do that? Easy. Just tell them here on SpringbokRadio.com. Internet radio is about talking to people in their own homes. Your message becomes part of the sound they've chosen to listen to. To find out more about advertising on SpringbokRadio.com, contact Dave DePria on Johannesburg 011-678-5176 or for outside South Africa 27-611-678-5176 or email Dave at SpringbokRadio.com.
Sworn there was someone. Oh, well.
Robert, I must talk. Oh!
What's the matter?
Nothing.
And why did you nearly scream?
I turned my ankle, that's all.
When I came in just now, I had a feeling someone was in the room.
A ghost, perhaps.
Now, don't you start that Jessica rubbish. One's enough. I'm going out. What were you going to say just now?
It'll keep.
Many things we said tonight would have been better kept. Did you mean that you won't be here when you...
Robert, I can't talk to you now. Leave me alone, please.
Oh, very well, if that's how you feel about it.
That was a superb journey. Do you deceive him as successfully in other ways?
Simon, what does this mean?
Just that I've come home. I climbed over the balcony.
But you're dead. They told us so. Killed outside Cole.
Everyone doesn't have to be killed in a war. I'm not the stuff heroes are made of. I was too young to die, so I didn't.
You deserted.
What's the joke?
He died, but his memory shall live. Stink should be the word. How is it your personal belongings were sent home to us?
If you're going to desert, you might as well do it intelligently. It's no joke if half the police in Europe have your description.
Haven't they yours?
No. The chap next to me had his head blown off. So I stripped him of all his identification junk, shoved my little lot in his pocket, and beat a strategic retreat. It was a case of one man losing his head and another keeping it.
You were always good at passing the buck. Then what?
I hid up for a while and then made my way to Marseille. Had to wait months there. Then, after it was all over, I gradually made my way home. It wasn't as easy as you might think.
And that scar on your face?
That, I'd like to give the impression it's a war wound. Actually, a jealous Frenchman stuck a pair of scissors into me.
Have you given a thought to your father or Angela since you ran away?
Oh, of course I've thought of them. But what did you want me to do? Send them a wire saying, not dead, deserted?
Well, one thing's certain. You're officially dead and you're remaining dead. Your father must never learn the truth. Never know what his hero really is.
Oh, nuts. Don't kid yourself, I'm staying dead on father's account. I've my own interests to think about.
If through any word of yours...
Oh, nuts. Don't kid yourself, I'm staying dead on father's account. I've my own interests to look to.
If through any word of yours he finds out that you're alive, I shall send for the police.
I believe you mean that.
I'll not allow you to break your father's heart.
Do you honestly mean you're fond of the old man? When I read in the paper that you married him, I laughed like a drain. Blind Mercer Magnet marries perfect secretary. I suppose you planned to him for years. Was that why you turned down my advances?
Ever since I saw you lounging through the outer office in a camel hair coat with a club scarf wound three times round your silly neck, I said to myself, if ever there was a bounder, there he goes.
I seem to have attracted a lot of attention.
You never did anything else but attract attention. Even when you were supposed to be dead, you were still in the window.
I say, what's this? Erected in proud memory of Simon. Well, well.
A pavilion and playing field are being presented to the village on Monday next. That's the model.
You know, it's really rather touching.
There are going to be others all over the country. He's spending $500,000 to keep your memory bright. Now do you see why he must never learn the truth?
On the contrary, only now do I begin to see the possibility of the situation. And you sit there and ask me to stay dead. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined touching him for more than a pittance. But now... my resurrection may be a shock to the poor devil, but look at the money I'll save him.
If you really meant to see your father, why didn't you speak to him when he came in here after dinner? You had the chance.
I was... startled.
You were scared out of your wits, so why not admit it?
Oh, keep quiet, Joan. What's happened to my clothes?
They're in a room on the next floor. Nobody's there. You'd better go through that door and up the back stairs. They're never used, so no one will see you. It's the first room on the right along the passage.
Thanks. By the way, where's Angela?
Germany.
How did she take my death?
Rather hard, I think.
Did she? But you didn't. Not still thinking of calling the police, are you?
That depends on you.
A lot depends on me.
I want a London call, please. Central 2000. Hello? Is that the Times? May I speak to Mr. Clyde, please? What? Oh, dear, isn't he? Oh, well... yes, perhaps you could. This is Lady Rawley. I rang earlier this evening to tell him about a bequest my husband's making, but will you ask Mr. Clyde to hold up the news until he hears from us again? Yes. Nothing must be printed yet. Thank you. Goodbye.
I hope we're not interrupting. Max is here.
Oh, of course not. I've just finished making a telephone call. Major Oliver, I'm so sorry, but I wonder... would you think me rude if I asked you to have a cigarette in the garden? I've something I must speak to Angela about, alone.
Yes, of course. Give me a shout when you're through, won't you?
He's all right, that friend of yours. Is it serious?
Yes. I'm afraid so. You needn't be. We shan't say anything about ourselves until after Monday.
Angela, I must ask you something. Well, it's very important. Have you got over Simon yet?
No. I shall never quite get over Simon. There'll always be a scar of sorts.
Then you loved him very much.
I loathed him.
Oh, I'm sorry if that offends you, but you weren't his wife.
You asked me for the truth, and you've got it.
But Robert said you cried all night when the telegram came.
People do cry at miracles.
Oh, Angela.
I'm sorry again, but I'm no good at humbug. To Robert, Simon was the paragon of all the virtues, but not to me. That's why I left here, so as not to shatter his illusions. Over in Berlin, I met Max and fell in love. Really in love. Suppose Simon hadn't been killed and came back into your life. I should want to die.
Famous last words?
No. No.
Awkward things, Miracles. You little prig. Celebrated my death by falling in love, did you? Who's the lucky man? I'd like to meet him.
Max. Joan, call Max back.
Major Oliver. Come back, will you?
Right home.
Maxwell Oliver? Clandon's nephew? I say you are going.
Must you make things worse for her?
You should have told me she was here instead of in Germany.
Well, are you through?
Max!
What's wrong, Angela?
Max, it's Simon.
No. It can't be. We believed you were dead.
No need to apologize. I gather you and Angela are close friends.
Angela married me in Berlin a month ago.
Chief, what?
What's so funny, Rawley? Why couldn't you tell her you're alive?
He's a deserter, that's why.
I see. Take that, you rotter. Get up, come on, get up.
Oliver, don't be mad.
Please.
Get your hands off me.
Robert must go, if anyone heard.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Angela.
If you hadn't hit him, I would.
So that's how it is.
That's how it always was. I nearly told you earlier tonight. I was trying to forget how ashamed I was of him.
Well, that's all right, darling. You've laid a very frightening ghost.
I'll have a drink while the post-mortem's going on. What about something to eat, Jenny? I'm nearly starving. On my way here, I had a blackout. Almost landed the car in a quarry.
I see about a snack.
You shouldn't drink on an empty stomach. How many have you had?
One or two.
You're looking very blue about the mouth.
What do you mean, blue?
Have you ever suffered any serious illness?
Only rheumatic fever as a child.
Then there it is.
What is?
These heart murmurs have funny habits.
What?
At times they're so nice and quiet, and then they'll blaze up suddenly.
Are you trying to scare me? I don't like these cracks about my health. And don't pin too many hopes on my early death. Oh, I'm living a long time, yes.
Hadn't you better touch wood? There are lots of ways of dying, Rawley, and lots of people would welcome the chance of showing you a few.
No, don't try anything, Oliver. I have a fair experience of getting out of tight corners and putting other people into them.
You're in a bit of a mess. Remember, Angela.
Right. Let's get down to it. How much do you want, and what do you offer in return?
Max, I want to talk to Simon. You go and see if Joan needs any help.
But
please, Max. I shall be all right.
Very well. But I won't be long.
I've got to speak to you alone, Simon. I don't know what Joan has said to you, but...
She's threatened to give me away if my father learns the truth. She thinks that it'd break his heart. And I'm afraid that, with all her faults, Joanie is a girl of the world.
She must realize the impossibility of keeping the truth from him. Robert's bound to find out.
So what?
There's only one thing for you to do. You must give yourself up.
Are you trying to be funny?
Oh, Simon, you can't spend the rest of your life running away. I was desperately unhappy as your wife. But I've enough pity left to wish you were dead, rather than facing the sort of future that's before you.
And while I sew mailbags, you and your boyfriend will be happy in Harley Street, I suppose.
No, Simon. I want a divorce.
Over my dead body.
We couldn't get to the pantry because of the maids. This is the best we can do. Joan's waiting downstairs to keep a lookout for Rory.
Never mind the history of the delay. Just hand it over.
May I know what you two have been talking about?
Well, we fairly took our hair down. I'm afraid there's no doubt that you have superseded me in her affections.
I dare say you will get over it. At a price.
She'll cost you a lot of money, Oliver.
Good. I'll be glad of the chance of showing her how much she means to me.
Max, stop.
Please, darling.
No. There are many angles to this deal. You're Clandon's heir, and you're a doctor. You won't want a bigamy scandal, however innocent. Then there's the general desire to keep the unwelcome news of my return from my father. Finally, the chance of my being able to scrape up a living, except by extortion, are rather dingy.
I've no quarrel with any of these points.
So what's your offer?
400 a year in quarterly installments.
No, Max, you shan't do this. You mustn't give him a penny.
My darling, where's your gambling instinct? I'll bet any odds you like that he doesn't cost us more than 100 or 2. Look at him. Sticks out a mile.
What tricks are you trying to play?
It isn't a trick. Remember, I'm a doctor, and it's my guess there's one danger ahead of you that no amount of running will help you dodge. But that's my offer. Take it or leave it.
Stop this, both of you. We're making no offer. He must give himself up. If he refuses to surrender and give me a divorce, I shall go back to Germany tomorrow.
I won't let you go. In any case, things have gone too far.
No. We've just time to wipe everything out. Only we three and the chaplain know of our marriage. I'll see the chaplain when I get to Berlin and tell him why we must forget about it.
You're wrong, my darling. Someone else does know. Before you phoned me tonight, I told my aunt about us, in confidence.
Oh, Max, why?
Well, you're why, my darling.
Robert's coming up the drive.
I'll finish my picnic upstairs. When the coast's clear for a further conference, give me a whistle. Like this. Hard luck, Angela. It was a good effort.
Oh, for goodness sake, try to appear normal. He has an uncanny sense of atmosphere. I've put on the radio. Have you decided anything?
Joan, Robert must be told.
He shan't be told.
Why must we be the ones to suffer? Has he any more right to be happy than we have?
Yes. He's blind.
Very well. I shall go back to Berlin tomorrow.
For heaven's sake, face facts, Angela.
My mind's made up.
So's mine. If you leave me, Angela, I'll kill him.
Splash the water hose, splash long and long. Using up the water, it's too late when it's gone. If you want to help, then this is what to do. Make sure the water hog is never, never you. Make sure the water hog is never, ever you.
Who'd have thought you'd be listening to Springbok Radio in 2009? But great things do survive, like Arthur Bales, a true legend in the haberdashery business, still around with good advice on sewing and knitting, still selling yarns, materials, cottons and patterns, and still with the same enthusiasm and expertise they had when they opened over 100 years ago. Yes, in 2009, the Arthur Bales tradition lives on, helping with all your sewing and knitting requirements. Call 011-888-2401 or visit their website on www.arthurbales.co.za. Arthur Bales, a legend in the business, and just like Springbok Radio, will always be around.
Have to fill the house with that noise.
I'll turn it off.
Who else is here?
Oh, well, you haven't met Major Oliver, have you, Robert?
How do you do, sir?
So you're Clandon's nephew. Your uncle has no use for me, but I like him. I like any man who goes down with his flag flying. By the way, who whistled as I was coming up the drive? Well, it went like this. What on earth are you running about for, Joan?
I dropped my compact. It rolled across the room.
I didn't hear it. Well, I think we should have a drink.
Well, let me get them.
Thank you, but I'll pour them myself as I always do. Oh, confound it! How many times have I asked people to put things back where they find them? Someone's moved the decanter. Forgive me, Oliver. But blind men have their whims and fancies, and tidiness and order are mine.
Here's the decanter.
Thank you. Funny about that whistle. As a young man, I used to whistle like that to let my wife know I was home.
Oh, don't whistle like that, Robert. It gets on my nerves.
Jumpy, aren't you?
No, I just don't like whistling.
Well, did they give you a drink, Major Oliver?
I haven't wanted one, thanks.
I'm sorry, Max, I forgot.
Well, have one now. Whiskey?
Gin, please. I don't drink whiskey.
Help yourself. It's whiskey for me. Well, you don't drink whiskey, but someone's punished the decanter since I had it last. It's empty. Have you taken to the bottle, Joan?
No.
One's enough to put Angela under the table, if I remember.
Who's been at it?
Oh, does it matter, Robert?
Oh, not much. Perhaps that chap the police are looking for slipped in and upped himself while we were at dinner. He'll need a good head or he won't get far.
What chap's that, sir?
Man from a stolen car that was found deserted near here.
Ah, Angela, you've come. Why didn't you come up to my room?
Well, as you weren't at dinner, Aunt Jessica, I thought perhaps you'd rather not be disturbed.
I'd received a call from the other side. But I'd have been glad to see you. And this gentleman is...
Major Oliver. This is Simon's aunt, Miss Stretford, Max.
How are you?
Suffering a series of disappointments. There are complex interruptive waves tonight. By the way, tell me, do you believe in people returning from the dead?
Oh, Angela, stop it. Stop it, it's not. Angela, do you hear? Stop it.
Oh, it is so funny. So horribly funny.
Angela, you'd better come outside.
Yes, yes, take her to the garden.
And I'd be obliged if you'd go too, Jessica, and take all your nonsense with you.
Very well, Robert.
Oh, put that woman in front of three doctors and they'd certify her. Now, Oliver, what's going on in this house?
I beg your pardon?
I said, what's going on?
How should I know, sir? I'm a stranger here.
You were in the house? When I was coming up the drive, I distinctly heard a whistle coming from this room. Yet when I asked who whistled, nobody answered. I'm wondering why my wife said she dropped her powder box, then apparently chased it up across the room to that small door over there.
Well, it must have rolled.
It's square, and square objects don't roll. I know she went to that door because I heard the click of the latch when she leant against it. But I didn't hear the powder box fall because she didn't drop it. Have you any views about that?
None at all, sir.
Huh. You're not going to talk, are you?
I'm finding these questions rather embarrassing.
You don't have to tell me that. Which of you opened that door, anyway?
It must have been left open.
Why, it's never used. Now for another mystery. Who took my whiskey? They're adding up, aren't they?
It's easy enough to create mysteries if you want to.
Easy when you're blind, you mean? Well, you do pick up unexpected things with your other senses. For example, I'm surprised when someone jumps a mile because a daft woman asks stupid questions about people returning from the dead.
Well, it was a bit startling, out of the blue like that.
Granted. But not enough to make the average person jump out of their skins. But Angela did. And at this moment, she's having screaming hysterics. Why?
I don't know. You'd better ask her.
And this one final mystery, Oliver. I suspect that you're in love with Angela. In fact, I'm certain you are. Why didn't you come out into the open and say so?
Angela's all right now. I'm sorry I made such a fool of myself, Robert. I must be overtired. I think I'll go to bed.
Yes, I should. Well, but just a moment. Joan, have any strangers been in this room tonight?
No, Robert. No strangers. Unless you count Max.
Not him.
None, then.
Excuse me, my lady. Lord Clandon.
Good evening, Lady Rawley. A shocking hour to call Rawley, but the chief constable was at the house and gave me a lift to the end of the drive, so I thought I'd pop in. But when you think of it, this is no time for misunderstandings between your family and mine.
That's nice of you. Get your uncle a drink, Oliver.
Yes, of course.
So this is the young lady who...
Of course you have met Angela.
What else am I here for?
Get your drink, uncle, and please...
Well,
uncle...
now, with all the pleasure in the world, I give you...
Don't let's have any toasts, uncle. They are out of date.
Nonsense. This is an occasion for celebration.
But, uncle, what are you doing gallivanting about with the chief constable?
The whole of the county police are out tonight looking for this rascal who stole a car and hit a policeman who jumped on the running board and tried to stop it. Poor chap, he died tonight.
So now it's a murder charge, eh? Have they got a description of the man?
Yes, the policeman managed to speak before he died. The fellow's got a scar, a deep scar, running down his right cheek. Now, come along.
Uncle, my toes... please.
Stop being so bashful, Max. None of us were at the wedding, so I suggest we drink to the bride and bridegroom. Now we have the time.
Uncle!
Just a minute.
I don't get this.
Surely you don't mean they haven't told you either?
Angela, come here.
Yes, Robert.
Why didn't you tell me you were married?
I'm not married, Robert.
What?
You heard what Clandon said?
Yes. But it isn't true.
What is this? Max, say something instead of standing there like a lunatic.
I've nothing to add.
You told your aunt you'd been married by an army chaplain in Berlin 6 weeks ago.
She's mistaken. We're not married.
Are you suggesting my wife made this up?
You heard what Angela said. We've nothing more to say. Come along, Angela.
I'm sorry, Rawley. I'm out of my depth. Let me assure you and Lady Rawley that I came tonight sincerely and with the best intentions.
I know that, Clanton. I'm not a fool. The boy obviously told his aunt he was married, but something's happened since to make him wish he hadn't spoken.
Trouble is, if I know my wife, she'd have rung up the papers by now announcing the marriage. Never knew her to keep a secret.
That'll about finish it. A £500,000 memorial to Simon Rawley and the announcement that his widow was married again in the same paper.
No, Robert. Lord Camden, do you mind leaving us together for a moment? Oh, don't go. I think I'll want to see you again. Perhaps you'd wait in the study.
Anything you say, my dear.
You know the circumstances. I might have thought those three had got together on this wedding business to make a public fool of me. But Clanton is as shaken as I am. You'd better ring the paper and tell them to hold back the announcement.
I've already done so, Robert.
You have? Why? Because you'd heard about this marriage?
No. I cancelled the announcement before I knew about that.
Without consulting me? What did you think I would have to say?
Oh, I thought it best. Oh, Robert, don't ask me my reasons. I'm tired.
Joan, you're hiding something. Why are you tired?
We had our first quarrel today.
You think I need reminding of that? Do you think it meant nothing to me?
Then go slow, Robert. Try not to ask even yourself too many questions.
Why? Because the answers might be unpleasant?
Yes. No.
Then you are hiding something. A dozen things have happened since dinner this evening that not one of you want to answer. A smell of human sweat in a room where no one has been for over an hour. A woman who cries out unexpectedly and twists an imaginary ankle. A decanter that empties itself. Whistles. Unused doors which are open. An atmosphere you could cut with a knife. Two people very much in love who deny their own words half an hour after they're uttered.
Robert. Oh, Robert, please.
What's happened? Who's been here and thrown everything into a lying confusion?
Robert, will you stop? For your own sake, please.
A most extraordinary thing has happened.
Oh, go away, Jessica.
I insist on being heard, if only to prove the folly of refusing to believe.
Jessica, can't it wait till later?
No, it can't. I went to the upper floor tonight, and as I was walking along the passage, who should be coming towards me carrying a candle but Simon himself.
Jessica, once and for all...
Simon I saw tonight was a different being from the happy, smiling wraith who has visited me in the past. He had a hungry, haunted look about him. I spoke his name, and with a look of terror, he extinguished the candle. But in the brief space of time he was visible, I saw a terrible, jagged scar running down his right cheek.
What? A scar? Simon.
Thank you for telling us, Jessica. But please don't say anything to anyone else. You can go to bed now.
Yes, I will. It's been a very upsetting evening.
Oh, Robert. I'd have given the world to have kept this from you.
You did your best, and I'm grateful to all of you. Joan, is this a mistake?
No, Robert. He deserted.
Deserted? Killed a man. Sneaked into his home like a thief. You've talked to him?
Yes.
Does he seem ashamed?
Well, you know Simon.
I don't. I thought I did. I'm wondering if the lad I believed he was ever existed. Deserted, it makes me sick.
He was alone and frightened, Robert. Perhaps if he'd been with others.
The cheering crowd, you mean, to spur him on and shout bravo. His mother and I spoiled it. It's hard not to spoil an only boy. He must have been here when I came up after dinner.
Yes.
And he hadn't the courage to speak to me. I suppose he demanded money. You should have told me.
You know why I didn't.
Rather than hurt me, you'd hang a murderer around your neck. And to think I came near to losing you through him.
His memory was everything to you.
This is a queer time to discover how lucky I am. Was Angela fond of him?
No. I only learned tonight how unhappy he'd made her.
And I thought she was lacking in loyalty. Would she have been happy with Oliver?
I'm sure she would.
So that's another thing he'd have smashed. He has a long account to settle, this son of mine.
What are we going to do? What can we do?
I'd like to be alone to decide. Run along now. And ask Clamden to make the speech on Monday. And dedicate the club to all the lads who fell.
Very well.
And Joan, have that tablet smashed.
Oh, Robert. We shall always have each other.
I'm grateful for these last few minutes we've spent together. They've taught me more about true values than I ever knew.
I'll speak to Lord Clamden now, but I won't be long.
And now for the reckoning. First, lock the door into the hall. Now, all the lights out. Except just this one standard lamp. Ready.
Jern, did that old fool Jessica tell you she'd seen? Jenny, let's have some lights on. Father.
You had nothing to say to me an hour ago, but now I've things to say to you. Sit down. Take the chair next to mine. Sit down! That's better.
You might wonder why I didn't try to see you at once, but I can explain everything.
Well?
What has Joan told you? You mustn't believe a word she says. She was always jealous of me. What did she tell you?
No more than I found out for myself. We won't go over it. Now you're back. What are your plans?
To get to South America.
Without a passport?
There are plenty to be had if you can pay for them.
If I can pay for them?
Oh, you've always been so wonderfully generous, Father. Joan told me what you were doing about the memorial. It made me want to cry. Father, I can't go on. You wouldn't believe what it's been like. Day after day, month after month. Just trying to keep alive.
Wouldn't I?
Stealing all the time, swindling people, snatching women's handbags, always on the run. Never knowing from one moment to the next whether you'll be in jail or running for your life. I tell you, I'm dead beat, Father. That's why I came home. That's why you've got to help me.
Got to, did you say?
I didn't mean it that way. I only want
to be saved from leading that sort of life any longer.
Yes.
So now you've come home to cheat and back by your own family.
No, whoever says who's a liar?
You're the liar, Simon. No man could have been prouder of his son than I was of you. It's not until now that I realize my mistake.
You can't brush me off so easily. If you refuse to see me through, you'd better look out.
I shall see you through, Simon, never fear. But I want to know the strength of your case first.
Well, if I did open my mouth, a lot of people would look rather comic, including yourself.
I'm thinking of them, Simon. I'm thinking of the people whose happiness is in your hands to destroy. And I've no fear of looking comic myself. I shall be dead.
What do you mean?
The last owner of this house fell from that balcony over there and broke his neck. When I've done what must be done, that's what'll happen to me.
You can't fool me with a tale like that.
Have I ever made a promise I didn't keep?
If you think you can do me down by committing suicide...
I don't. I wouldn't make a mistake like that. I'm taking no chances, Simon. The others aren't as well fitted to cope with you as I am. Oh, no, Simon. If you were thinking of giving me the slip, you should have stepped clear of that creaking board. That door's locked, and I have the key in my pocket. And if you're thinking of the balcony, there are police all over the grounds.
The police can't touch me. Remember, I died a hero's death at Cannes.
You stole a car. There was trouble with a constable, and you pushed him off the running board. He's dead, and the police are after you.
What?
Thief. Deserter. Blackmailer. Murderer! You'd have done better to face the enemy like the other lads. Then at least you'd have had a chance of coming through.
You wouldn't give me up?
Alive, I wouldn't. You'd talk too much. That's why, before I step off that balcony, you're going to die.
Stop saying such things, Father. Let me out. Let me out of here. I'll go away. You'll never see me again. Give me a chance to make a break for it, Father. That's not too much to ask. Father, please.
Now I've pulled out the lamp flex. We're in darkness. On equal terms. I'm coming for you, Simon.
If you come near me, I'll kill you. I've got a knife.
Use it, Simon, while you still have time.
You can't kill your own son.
My son died in France.
No. No. No.
You must breathe quieter than that to catch me unawares.
You can't do this to me, Father. You can't.
Heaven help me. I've got to.
Father, help. Help. Let me out.
Where have you got to?
Robert, open the door. Let us in.
Keep out of here.
Get out of the way. Let me.
Robert, sit on the light, Angela. Robert. No, no! Come back to the balcony! Come back! Oh, Lord Clarendon, back quick! Catch him before he falls!
Now tell me, what happened, Rawley? He must have jumped into the courtyard.
No, he's here, on the balcony. He's dead.
Dead?
He had a knife.
Has he stabbed himself?
No. He died of fright by the look of him.
I shouldn't wonder. Here, Max, do you see that scar? This must be the fellow they're looking for. Joan, take me to him.
No, Robert.
Do as I say. Yes. I can feel the scar. Poor lad. Draw the curtains. Clanton. Ring up the police. Before I do that, Rawley, I wonder if I might make a suggestion. When my son was killed, I put away every picture I had of him. And I believe if you did the same, you'd save yourself a lot of unhappiness. This photograph of your son on the table here. May I remove it? Put it inside the desk. Thank you, Clanton. Now, what do you want me to tell the police? Tell them to come and collect the body of an unknown man.
That was this week's edition of Radio Theatre, in which you heard The Paragon, written by Roland and Michael Pertwee. It starred Harold Freed, Merle Wayne, Caroline Smart, and Douglas Bristow. It was produced in Durban by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal.